Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, unity matters. Here's why unity matters. The most important thing that this church can do, I'm going to name it here this morning, most important thing that this church can do is to show the virtue of unitedness to the community, a virtue, a characteristic, a character attribute of unity to the community. Now, if you don't believe me this morning, that's not my opinion. That's not some other philosopher from the 15th century. That's Jesus' opinion. In John chapter 17, our text, as Jesus is concluding this high priestly prayer, Jesus prays those words. I'm going to repeat them here this morning. Father, I pray that they may be one, unified, so that the world may know that you sent me. Now, there's kind of some bad news with that. Here's the bad news. When a church family is about gossip, negative criticism, hostility, backbiting, negativity, it does two things. One, no one wants to come. No one else wants to join any, I'm not saying pieces like that, but I'm saying no one wants to join any group that has that going on. And here's the second thing that's so bad, that's so sinful. It makes Jesus look bad. That's bad news. Here's the good news. I'm being serious here. Here's the good news. The good news is when a church is about connection with one another, love, compassion, a genuine concern, listening, all these sorts of things, boy, will people want to join that church, that organization, even any organization that's out there. And the good news is we make Jesus look really good. Of course, the Holy Spirit does those things. Unity matters. Not my teaching, not Nietzsche's teaching, Jesus' teaching. So there's lots of good things about our church, lots of good attributes and characteristics. We have a really good-looking pastor. It's a joke. We have wonderful music, which is absolutely true. We have wonderful people, but the greatest attribute over all those things is our unity that we share with others around us. Our unity matters. Now, Peace Lutheran Church, I think this is a great attribute, so I'm not, this morning we're not like, you know, it's not a squirming sermon and saying we need to do better. It's something that we do really well, but we want to hold on to it and continue to do better and be that vibrant witness in the community. But how is it that unity is broken down? I've been thinking about that this week, and I've come up with a couple suggestions. Unity can break down when we fail to share things. Now, sharing, the New Testament church, the early church shared lots of things. As I read it and I was thinking about making my list, listen to these things they shared. Number one, they shared their possessions. Acts chapter 2 says they joined together and they held things in common. In other words, when there was a need that arose in the fellowship in the early church, someone shifted what they had to someone else. They shared possessions. How do we do with that today? I struggle with lending out my Tupperware because it may not get returned. The early church shared problems with one another. This comes from Galatians chapter 5. Paul said, bear one another's burdens. And so in the first century, you get the picture that they sat down and talked about the troubles and problems that were going on in their life. Do we share our problems and troubles? No. Privacy. I don't want anyone to know my dirty laundry. I kind of want to be to myself. That's some of the times I feel that way. The early church shared truth. Ephesians chapter 5. Speak the truth in love. So when there was someone walking and wandering in a path that was outside of what's God's will, you got the picture that the early church, they didn't just let him go. They tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, Henry, speaking the truth in love, come back into line. Do we share the truth today? It's hard. Keep it to yourself. Tolerate. Don't go after. Don't tell that person to toe the line. It's difficult these days. The early church shared failure. Two of the main leaders failed big time. Paul killed Christians. Peter rebuked Jesus, denied Jesus, yet they talked about their failures. And it wasn't a big deal. Paul and Peter got prominent positions actually in the early church, and they talked about their failures. It wasn't a big deal. Are we good at sharing our failures today? No. You know what we do? What most organizations do? They sign letters of confidentiality. So you don't talk about your failure. And you hide away from those troubles. So one thing that breaks unity today is that we share very, very few things. The early church shared a whole bunch of things. Here's another thing that we're not so good, not our church, but our community that we need to watch and the culture that we live in. And that is we tend to size ourselves up to other people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian theologian about 80 years ago, and he studied unity and lived it out, and he came to the conclusion that the one thing that broke down unity was when someone sized up themselves to someone else before ever really getting to know them. Now, when I read that, I thought about those days in the lunchroom cafeteria when I was growing up. It happened. You know how we sized up kids in like second and third grade, how you size yourself up to someone else? By what's in your lunchbox. If your friend right next to you had cold pizza, they were pretty cool because that meant that they had pizza last night and they had cold, that was a cool person. So that's how you sized them up. And then if someone had a bologna sandwich, yeah, you want to stay away from the bologna sandwich person. Now, I was the bologna sandwich person, so I know how that went. I had bologna sandwich, peanut butter and jelly, that's the way it went. With the advent of social media, many of you know this, it's happening today. Sizing people up before you ever meet them happens all the time. I can go on social media and find out how is someone a Republican or a Democrat? Does someone like my likes? Does someone dislike my dislikes? Does that person, what did they do 5 years ago? And before ever having a conversation or ever really getting to know someone, see what we do today? We size them up. That is a recipe for not creating unity. That's a problem. You know, Satan's main strategy is not to get us, it is to get us to sin. Of course, that's what we teach here in our church. But it's deeper than that. Satan's real strategy is to confuse Jesus' prayer here, to get us to a point where we are not united with one another, to create disunity. That was the problem of Adam and Eve when they ate of that fruit in the garden. It wasn't eating the apple so much, but see, when they ate the apple, Adam and Eve were separated forever. There was a schism. They were divided. And see, when we break the Ten Commandments, we're not just breaking a rule that was given by God many, many years ago. You see, we're bordering on causing disunity. When we don't honor our father and mother, the thing that comes is that there's a broken relationship that comes. When we steal from someone, it's not just that we violated Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5. That's not the issue. Here's the issue. When we steal from someone, we've spread the seed of suspicion and distrust into the community. Disunity is Satan's goal. That's his goal. A few years back, we had a pastor here from the Assemblies of God Church. He said something that really struck me. He said this. You may remember Bill Grable. He said this about his church. He had one rule about his church, and this was the one rule that he had. You must practice unity. And if you didn't practice or strive for unity, he told his members they should leave. Wow. That sounds harsh. That's what he said about 4 or 5 years ago. Now, what he meant by that was not that we all agree on everything, but that we strive to love one another and see the best in each other and have the best construction on one another. Otherwise, we're giving in to Satan's strategy to cause disunity and harm. You know, unity is a really, it will bless you. I promise you. Unity will bless you. There's a story of a farmer who his crop won every year. He had a wheat. He planted seed, and the wheat, his crop won at the county fair every year. And in an interview, it came out that this farmer would share his seed with his neighbors around him. And the person that was interviewing thought that was really strange. And so he asked the farmer, he said, "Sir, I'm confused with your strategy. Why do you share your seed with your neighbors? You're in the same competition with them." The farmer kind of stumbled and he said, "Well, here's the thing. The seed that I plant, it pollinates and the wind blows and it takes it to other fields," he said. "If I give my neighbor the inferior seed, the wind will blow and spread the seed, and sooner or later, my own field, the wheat in my own field, will deteriorate and not be of good quality. But I want the best quality wheat. So you know what I share with my neighbors? I share the very best seed so that the wind kicks up, it cross-pollinates, and my wheat field is the best in the community. That's the secret to my success," the farmer said. Do you see how that applies to our life? If we want to flourish in life, we should seek to flourish other people's lives. Then we'll flourish. If we want to be happy in life, we should seek the happiness of our neighbors. But the truth of this passage here in John chapter 17, where Jesus is going really with this, is this thought. If you're united to someone and they're imperfect, you kind of get their imperfections, and it's not really a good relationship. But you see, here's the thing. If you are united to something that is perfect, you get their perfection, and you get that good seed. Isn't that what Jesus has done for us? Jesus never sized you up. What if he did? If he sized each one of us up, do you know what he'd say? You're poorer than I am. You're weaker than I am. You're not as good as I am. And if Jesus would have sized us up when he came to this earth, he would have come to a different conclusion and he would have not died on the cross. But he came to this earth as your equal, as your brother. And he died on the cross so that he could share his perfection with you. Out of the abundance of his grace, he gives it to you. Out of the abundance of his mercy, he shares it with you. Now that's being united to someone that's who you want to be united with, Jesus. He shares with you out of his abundance. You know, about 10 years ago, I had a conversation with someone that was Ethiopian. It was during an election year, 2008. I think it was 2008. This guy grew up in Ethiopia. I happen to know quite a few Ethiopians. And he was trying to figure out the American election system and how all this worked. And he said this to me. It stuck with me. It jarred me. He said, "You know, in America, I don't understand the election cycle. Everyone says that they're Republican and they're Democrat. And they fiercely take those sides." And he paused and he said, "In my country, we never do that. We're all Ethiopian because we've gone through death and persecution. And we're bonded together through that experience." And it struck me when he said that. Friends, you have been bonded through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it runs deeper than any ethnicity, deeper than any other political view, and it'll last forever. We are united in a special way. Let's continue that trait, that characteristic, and share it into the world. It's the best thing that we can do. Amen.